Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk.
All right. Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. I'm doing solo today for this episode. And I just want to share with you a little bit about this quote I heard the other day from a pastor. His pastor's name is Philip Anthony Mitchell. He's become fairly well known for his church, 2819 Church. And what I love about him is he's very just truthful. It doesn't hold back from the truths of the Bible, even when they are a little bit hard to hear from many people. And we talked about not too long ago in a previous episode about having ears that want to be tickled. And oftentimes we find ourselves in these spots where we want to hear what we want to hear, so to speak, so that we can feel good about where we're going. And the Bible is very correcting. And when you finally get a hold of that and understand that, you'll realize that you're not always going to hear what you want to hear. And sometimes we need to hear those things because they actually are growth things that we need to go through to become more like Christ and to seek after. The Bible asks us to seek after righteousness, and that's what we're going to do. So the quote that he said was, this is him talking to his congregation and challenging them. And he says, "The Lord ain't called you to be misunderstood, to be understood. The Lord hasn't called you to be understood. He called you to be obedient." And so that's kind of what I want to talk a little bit about today is obedience and just the challenge that comes with that and how important that is actually for unity. Because if we're not being obedient, we can easily get into disunity because we're getting into disunity with God, which causes disunity within his church. And so I just want to talk about a little bit because I have a pretty good history of not being obedient, unfortunately. And that comes from my own personal difficulty with people pleasing. And that for a long time in the church, I struggled with people pleasing, even as I served in worship ministry and in youth ministry. And I've gotten better and better as I've gone over time. But much of that time, I struggle with people pleasing. And what that does is it makes us want to say what tickles other people's ears because we don't want them to think poorly of us. Like, I don't want someone to dislike me because I'm a people pleaser. And so I'm not going to share the full truth, because if I share the full truth, it's going to be harsh, maybe, or challenging to the other person. And I don't want to challenge them because then they might not like me. And the problem with that is that then we don't share the truth. And then we can actually mislead people by agreeing with them or saying, "Oh yeah, that sounds good." And instead of sharing the truth of the Bible, which, is correcting in many ways. And another thing I just had this conversation with someone recently is I don't want to come across as judgmental. That's easy to maybe feel like you are being judgmental when you're sharing the truth, and we can take it to a judgmental place really quickly. And so that's something to watch out for, of course, because, we don't sit in the judgment seat. And sometimes when we're sharing the truth, we could share a truth about something like lying is a sin, right? And then we could try to sit in judgment over someone for lying, when all of us have struggled with lying at some point in our life. And you could say, well, you could take it to this even extreme level, being like, "Well, you're a liar, so you're going to hell," or something like that. And that's just not true. And because it's not up to us, right? We can be a liar our whole lives. And if we come to full repentance and acceptance of Jesus and he forgives us of those things, then of course we do get to enter into heaven under his authority, because he's the one with the authority to judge. We are not. And so there's this challenge. There's a kind of a sticky spot there where we have to kind of go back and forth between, am I being just a truth giver and a messenger, or am I being judge, jury, and sending them to the prison of hell or something like that with our words. And so it is something to be careful about, but also we can go too far the other way, which is, well, I'm just not even going to present the truth at all because I don't want to come across as judgmental. And I'm just going to kind of agree with whatever the person is saying to me, even though I know that it is against the truth of the word. And so that's kind of what the battle of disunity that I'm talking about today. And it's a real struggle. And I recognize that in other people, and I recognize that in myself. And there's this thing that was brought up at I went to a recent church, and I've also heard Charlie Kirk say this, this thing that we need to do, which is grace and truth. We need to always have grace and we need to always have truth. And those two can go together and work at the same time. And if we have too much of one, which is what I've always done with, that's the people pleasing, is like so much grace that like you can basically say anything and you're fine. You know, don't worry about it. And too much truth, which feels like a hammer. And you're just like, well, you're just guilty and you need to be guilty and you're going to feel guilty the rest of your life because you haven't done things right. And that's like that kind of law, like the truth, and which is there. And that is the truth. But we also serve a God who is a God of truth and grace. And that is the whole purpose of what Jesus was when he came down to earth. It was to prove that the law is true and that we should be pursuing it and we should be seeking righteousness, but also that he understands that we're not able to fully fulfill the law. And so over time, or and just a brief history in the Old Testament, that God gave a way for his grace to be known. And that was a sacrificial system where people, they came and they sacrificed the animals to atone for the punishment that they deserved because of their sin. And that was a show, that was God giving his grace down through the law and through Moses as a way for us to come back into repentance and just realize the error of our ways. And then he would forgive us. And that even in the Old Testament, we see this amazingly forgiving and gracious God. And it's only when people completely rejected all that, that God was like, okay, I guess I have to take it a step further and actually deliver punishment. But over the whole course of the Old Testament, we see God constantly giving people opportunities to repent and believe and receive his grace. And so we as followers of his need to have that same kind of thing where we present the truth, which is the law, which is the word, which is the Bible, if you don't know what that mean by the word. And then also the grace that goes along with it, that there's always this opportunity to repent and be forgiven. And so, and we see Jesus, of course, do this. And that's what Jesus did, was completely fulfill the law by offering a sacrifice. So we didn't have to make these sacrifices anymore to atone for that sin. He actually sacrificed himself as an atonement for the entire law being broken by us constantly, but we still have to do our part, which is to then go and ask for forgiveness and seek repentance. And then he obviously gives us that grace and gives us forgiveness. But we can easily, as church leaders, get into this spot of, well, I'm just going to have all grace all the time. And that's the struggle that I'm talking about today, because that's been my struggle, which is, again, that people pleasing. And I just want to give grace to everybody. And there's this kind of a, and I've always loved the gospel of love, which is the gospel of God loves us and he cares about us and he wants us and wants to be with us. But oftentimes in my, especially in my early walk, I would leave out the part of repentance and that we are guilty of our sin. And we are. Like, that's just a truth. Like, we've all fallen short. And there's been times where I've even tried to disqualify that statement of that we've all fallen short. But then once I had kids, and I hate to throw my kids under the bus like this, but I know I was like this as a kid too. We see just how much love of a liar we can be. I don't know how many watching this can say that they've never lied to their parents, right? So that's a law that was broken by us at some point in life. And many of us still struggle with lying to some degree, right? And there's so many of those kind of examples of these things that we may consider to not be as much of a bad thing, or like a white lie, or any of the other things, adultery. I mean, all those things that happen that we've discovered ways to make it seem like less than it actually is. But those are the sins that we deserve punishment for. And, but we serve a God of grace. But what we can do on the over grace side is forget to tell them that they actually do deserve the punishment. That's actually the glorious part. That's what we need to be telling people. We don't need to be people pleasing and giving them what their ears want to hear and say, no, that wasn't that bad. You can keep doing that, because the pathway to sin is death. The pathway of sin is death. And Jesus tells us that. He says, sin leads us into destruction. And so if we are too overly gracious with what sin is and even pointing it out, then we are leading people to destruction. And in that way, it's like, I was fully convicted of this not too long ago, actually, which is somewhat sad, because I feel like I should have learned this a lot earlier in my walk, that how important it was to bring the truth alongside grace, because the truth is what helps us to understand why we need it so much. The truth is what helps us to know why we need this grace that Jesus gave us and this forgiveness, and even shows just how much God loves us through all that, that he was willing to send his son to die for us, that he was willing to create a sacrificial system to help us, because he does want to be with us, but he can't exist with us in our sin state. Like, we have to come, he's a very just God, and we have to come to this place of acceptance of his grace and repentance to enter into that. So he knew that, and he created the system, and he created a way, which is why I think the early church was called the way, because that's what he gave us, was a way to be in his presence regardless of our sinful state. And so what does that look like as far as the statement? He didn't call us to be understood. He called you to be obedient. Because sometimes we feel like we need to be like everybody needs to be understood instead of obedient. And what he really just calls us to is to just say the things that come across your heart that you know are true. And that is small obediences to God. And God will use those things to convict. And some people will see that as judgmental, and we have to be okay with that to some level, and try really hard not to go into the judgment seat, because that's not our job. There's actually specific verses about how we are not called to be the judges of humanity. We are called to be the messengers of his word. So obedient in the way that we share the truth, but not with the judgment that we have. We don't have the authority of judgment in that way. We can't say that God isn't going to give someone the amount of grace that they need. Like, we can't say that. That's not our place. And so I loved that quote, and I don't have a whole lot. This is going to be a really short episode because I don't have a whole lot to say about it. This is somewhat just an off the cuff, but hopefully this is helpful to many of you who may struggle with either one of those. Actually, I'll talk a little bit about the other side of that, which is because I know I've seen that as well, and it's just as bad for unity. Truth only is just as bad for disunity in the church, because what it does is create that. Many people say they don't want to go to church because they feel judged there. They don't want to be a part of a church because when they walk in with their history and their sin, they know that they're sinful. They know that they're not measured up to the standard of God, And they think that's a reason why they can't come to church, because the apparently everybody else there is sinless, which is just not true. Everybody has struggled we all fall short, right? And so when we get into that overly truthful state of, well, this is the truth, and we call that Bible thumping, right? Hit them over the head with the Bible and say, this is the law, this is what you should, this is who you should be. And though we all want to aspire to that, many people, when they walk in the door for the first time, they're far from that. And if we're overly into the truth and not grace, we're not going to give them any grace to learn. We're not going to give them any space to figure out what God is even saying to them and why he is calling them into that righteousness and why he wants to have that relationship with them. If we're just hitting them over the head, because then they feel like God is just this angry, angry dad, mad dad. I get the mad dad sometimes in my house. I try to level it out with grace. That happens in our parenting too, right? I can't be too much of a rule giver and not a grace giver. If we never give our kids grace, they're going to think of us as just super harsh and unloving. And that's not the God we serve. We serve a God who is very willing to talk and bring in people that are not quite, that are not holy. And none of us are, right? Because we all have that story to some level, that of the time when we walked into church and we knew nothing, and we weren't pursuing righteousness at all. And some of us feel like maybe we were more than others or less than others. And we can try to put ourselves in this category of where we were at, how good I was before and after church. But it really doesn't matter, because we all fell short. We all deserve the punishment. And so we should try not to do that. Comparison is the devil's game. That's not a game of God. And so trying to get out of that and recognizing when someone walks in the door for the first time, they do not need to come to church ready. They don't need to come to church fixed up. Another thing this guy actually says a lot, which I really like it, I really appreciate, is he says, you can belong before you believe. You can enter into his church and belong there and be a part of the community without fully believing in what God has to say. And I love that, because that is the grace that we see Jesus use all the time. And he would bring the truth. He was a truth bringer. Like, he came against the people in charge, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he came and expressed his the truth to them, and it was very straightforward in telling them how they were getting it wrong. And he's like, you guys are doing this wrong. And part of what they were doing wrong, part of what the Pharisees were doing wrong, is they were all truth and no grace. And he said, I desire mercy, not, I think it's mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy. He wants for us to give each other grace. And because that is really this God-like love that goes beyond just punishment and wanting someone. And you know what helped me with this? Probably the most, actually, is having kids. That has helped me the most understand who God is, because my kids can mess up a whole lot. Like, well, and they've never messed up enough, I guess I should say, that I wouldn't love them still. And they've messed up hard. You know, they've said really terrible things to me. They've done terrible things to some degree. And it doesn't really matter how much they mess up. I'm still going to love them. And I truly helped, that really helped me to see this grace and truth side of things. Cause I also very much want to grow them up in the truth. And I want to share with them all the truth that I know, because I know it's going to help them in life. And so I want to be that truth bringer, and I'll even bring discipline along with it, because I want them to learn what the truth is and how to be good people. But I'm also going to love them through all their inequities in that. And that's really how God loves us, only to a much higher level. I've told my kids this before. I was like, this is what I'm trying to do, but I'm not going to do it as well as God does. I'm not going to do it as well as Jesus would, because he's Jesus, he's God. And they just have a much higher, God has a much higher level of ability to have grace and truth than I do. And so he's a creator of the universe. And so I don't try to think that I can do it as well as him, which is also good grace for yourself, you parents out there. It's okay that you're not as good at it as Jesus would be. At least you're trying. And the best thing you can do is try to have truth with grace, because the truth is a hammer and actually keeps a lot of people away from the church if that's all you have. And we need to remember that, and this is why, I mean, Jesus talks about forgiveness all the time. And what is forgiveness? I mean, what causes the need for forgiveness? Well, usually it's because someone has sinned against you, right? Someone has hurt you or done something wrong against you, and you need to forgive them. And Jesus talks about forgiveness a lot. And even so much that when people ask him, well, how many times do I need to forgive someone? He says 7 times 70, which is basically he's saying as many times as it takes. And a God of forgiveness and someone who promotes forgiveness that much is for grace alongside truth. Because the truth is, when someone wrongs you, you have a right to justice. And that's what God has. He has a right to justice with us. But he also really loves us. And so he chooses grace as well. And so I just love that quote. It really stuck with me. I wanted to share it with you guys. Live in grace and truth, live in that little bit of obedience, just be okay with sharing the truth. Don't forget about grace though. And I hope this helps, and, I hope you guys have a great time. And I'm going to pray for us here in a minute. But I also just wanted to invite you into the conversation, comment, post, share if you think this is a good message for someone else. And we'd love for you guys to follow us, comment, and give us some feedback. Be a part of the conversation, as Nathaniel always says. And thanks for stopping by. I'm going to pray for all of you who might be watching this today. Lord, I just thank you for giving me the truth and the grace that comes along with it through your son. And I so appreciate the things you've overlooked in my own life as I've struggled with different things over time, God. And I thank you for the forgiveness, and let me, and let us, God, share that same grace, but also the truth with people. Be bold enough to not be a people pleaser, because the truth is what sets people free. And, just saying what they want to hear is not going to help anything. And so, Lord, I pray that we are just bold followers of you, but also, God, that we just love people like you do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.